Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It is a pleasure to have you with us here on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and we will also be archived on YouTube starting the end of January 2015. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really a pleasure to have you with us talking about new ideas in health and things that we might have never thought about, but wow, you know, maybe that's the way I want to go. Today we will be talking about your brain. You know that thing that stands on the top of your head that everybody says, hey, it's not connected to anything else? It's what I think. And when I go to the doctor to have something wrong with my brain, oh, that's really a big deal. But when we think about the body, mind, and spirit connection, it's all working at the same time. You know, when you think of something and then you get a pain in your stomach, is that not connected? Or if you say, well, I really thought about something and you have a pain in your chest and your heart, is that not a connection? Or also when you stub your toe and you think, oh, man, that really hurts, isn't that a connection? So really, the brain, it has a loop in every single system in our body, no matter what goes on. So don't ever, you know, when you go to the doctor and he separates you out and says, oh, you got a funny toe, here, let's fix that. Or I don't know about your stomach issues. We always have to think about what the brain part has to do with that also. Today my guest is Dr. Adam Briner, longtime friend of mine. We went to naturopathic school together, and we'll be sure to share that story. But it's a great pleasure to have him with us because he's going to be talking about all his neurotherapies, tips, and all of the things that he does to help heal the brain. And I like to say it's more the body, mind, and spirit work that he does. He uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, neurofeedback, and higher brain living. And all of these words, to most of us, they're saying, oh, my word, I don't know what that stuff is. And isn't that really when you have a really hit-the-wall, crash-and-burn type? Well, not really, because I think we're all on there day-to-day having a crash-and-hit-the-wall type. We just don't even recognize it. Sometimes it comes with stress. Sometimes it comes with life events. And we just push it off and push it off until really we just can't move anymore. So really what Adam is doing is a lot of work so that you're able to function better day to day and not have to hit that big wall that will just really take you down. So Adam, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Right, thank you, Jeanette. Good to be with you and your listeners.
You know, it's really great, don't you think? We talk about the brain and, you know, it's that ball on top of our body, right?
Well, as Dr. Gallagher mentioned, we were in school together, and I remember talking about the pituitary gland performing tonight at the Sella Tursica. So remember that. We came up with ways of trying to remember parts of the brain. It was really a funny thing.
I know, and it's always about correlating it to something else. If you could formulate a picture in your mind, you know, hey, those other pieces will just fall into place, right?
Exactly. I mean, it is all about our brain. You know, when I was in school, in naturopathic medical school, I myself was always saying, well, okay, this brain stuff, this is really complex and interesting but very difficult. I won't be dealing with that so much anyhow when I'm in practice, so,
yeah.
You know, on to the next thing. And then, lo and behold, here I am. So
I think those things that we challenge and toss to the side seem to come recycled back, don't they?
They do. They absolutely do. And I think part of, you know, like you were saying, you know, just it leave it there, you know, don't worry about your head. Or sometimes
mm-hmm.
people go to doctors and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with them. And
mm-hmm.
eventually what happens is that they're told to go see a psychologist or psychiatrist because
right.
there's nothing wrong with you. It's got to be, it's got to be mental. It's got to be
mm-hmm.
psychosomatic. As so often happens with many of my Lyme disease patients. So there is this wonderful connection between the body and the mind. There's been a lot of work in recent years talking about this. We always hear about the poo-pooed placebo effect, which is really a very
right.
powerful effect that the brain can have on all different types of health issues. So we know the brain is very powerful, and it makes us who we are. So, you know, we when I was first in school, and Dr. Gallagher can attest this, we were working our little tails off and,
mm-hmm.
and working hard. We had a lot of stress for a lot of over different things, and also we were studying in the library tower of our school, and you commented to me, my God, there is mold here. And I was saying, I have no clue what you're talking about. It seems fine. You're like, oh, no, I know. I am getting a headache. And I said,
right.
uh-huh. And lo and behold, about an hour or so later, I start getting a headache. It was the first ever time I felt anything like that from like a mold. I was like, oh, my gosh. And
yeah.
and that really took me down quite a bit, that on top of the chemical toxins we were exposed to doing anatomy lab and the stress of everything. So by the time I got, eventually Dr. Gallagher and I went to different colleges, and when I was at a different medical school, I was up at that school in my second year, and I was studying for a pharmacology exam. And at that point, I was studying, and I went to take the exam, and I could not remember a thing.
Mm.
I was at complete, like, brain out, you know, brown out, brain
mm-hmm.
out. I mean, there
right.
was nothing. I was like, this is something wrong here, because I know I studied. These questions look familiar, but I can't grab the information. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to go get help from my brain. And when I went and turned to a clinician who was working with Alzheimer's patients at the time, I was like, okay, you know those people, those elderly people can't remember anything? That's me. Do whatever you do to them, I'm me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we worked on different things like acupuncture and diet and nutrition. And, you know, I got my brain back, so I was able to get through school and be with you today. But it really is so important, and it can, in the anything in our lives can really affect our minds. And I think if people just think that it's just this one thing, like if I just take this one supplement, I'll be able to mm-hmm. get my brain back on. Or if I just do this, you know, whatever it might be, one therapy, then you'll get such and such symptom resolved. And we have to understand our whole body is connected, and that you have to approach it from a whole multitude of angles, and that's my clinic's called Whole Body Medicine.
You know, I think so many times people will turn around and say, I'm looking for the answer to this symptom, and when that symptom is alleviated, then I will check it off and I'm good to go and I go on to the next day.
Right.
And we've really been a check off symptom list people, because we go to all kinds of doctors and physicians, we read things on the internet, we look at things on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So many people will bring in a drug and say, it says on TV this drug is for this, So I assume, therefore, it takes care of that. And we, you know, so many times I will talk to people and they will say, well, I want off the drugs. That's why I'm coming to you. And that's just a step down, because now you're asking me to give you supplements which will do the same symptomology, you know, getting rid of that as the drugs do, but I want to do that. And they still don't look at the big picture. How do I fit in here? Where am I at? You know, what have I been influenced by? You know, have I been around chemicals? Have I had a terrible childhood? Am I in an abusive relationship? Do I sit down and drink everything on the weekend? And I'm just expecting that drug or that supplement to fix this one symptom, because that's really the symptom that's driving me crazy.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we've been programmed to think about the magic bullet. And,
right.
And that was in the advent of the antibiotic age, and thinking that the drugs are going to save everything from, you know, us from all ails, and there should be a pill for everything. That's why you see all these commercials. Ask your doctor about blah blah
right.
blah. You know, so
absolutely.
We're not that. So when it comes to the brain and some of the things that I ended up doing for the brain, I really looked at it from a naturopathic perspective, and I'm sure you've spoken about this with your listening audience before. But our slogan, so to speak, is Vis Medicatrix Naturae, the healing power of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies have the innate ability to heal themselves. At times we may need to help that process along, but what can we do as physicians to, you know, do no harm, but really also aid the body in healing it? So when I was out of school, in the middle of starting to practice, but also looking and seeing what I was going to be doing in practice, one of the things I came across was neurobiofeedback. And and to me, I was like, okay, I never learned about this. What is this thing? And I was talking with this other physician, and she's like, oh, well, it's training your brain to put your brain waves back in place if they're out of whack, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, okay, well, who's like one of the people behind this? And she mentioned Dr. Margaret Ayers. And I said, okay, well, I want to do this, but I want to study with Dr. Ayers, because she's one of the founders of neurofeedback. And there's really only like three or four people that created this field of medicine, which is really becoming more and more known nowadays. But at the time, back in the 70s or 80s, she was really one of the very first people to do this. And so I called up Dr. Ayers and I said, hey, Margaret, do you mind if I come learn with you? She says, sure, come on out. So I went up to California before I had a family, and I can go places easier. And,
yep.
And I spent time learning about her insights into the brain and using this wonderful tool that she had developed, this real-time neurofeedback, to be able to see what the brain is doing. And we're able to see patterns in brain waves. These are the whispers between the neurons in your brain, the electrical communication. Everyone's heard of an EKG, which is when people put the heart monitors on and they see the blip, blip, blip on the screen. That is an electrocardiogram, or ECG or EKG. An EEG is a brain wave. We're listening to the brain waves talk, and that shows up on the screen. And so we're able to see these patterns, we're able to see areas of dysfunction, but more than that, we're able to give the brain information back about when it's putting the brain waves in the correct pattern. It's kind of like giving a mirror to the brain to let it see itself, and it starts correcting itself once you give it audible feedback and visual feedback, and it's quite powerful. And many conditions can be addressed with this. Attention deficit disorder. In fact, even now it's become so known that even the Journal of Pediatrics, I believe it was just this past year, wrote it as one of the therapies for an effective therapy for attention deficit or ADD, ADHD,
mm-hmm.
rather than all this Ritalin. Because it actually changes the brain and keeps it that way rather than just putting this speed drug in a person's body. I've used it extensively for things like traumatic brain injury and strokes and conditions like that, and dyslexia and many, many other conditions that I've used the neurofeedback for. And also during that time, I was looking at, well, what else could really help the brain? And that's when I learned about hyperbaric oxygen. Wow,
well, hold on. Let's talk a little bit more about neurofeedback, too.
Okay.
And also, too, when people go to the doctor and they say, well, let's maybe think about what your brain, what are you thinking or what's going on. And as soon as you say brain or heart to anyone,
mm-hmm.
they're like, ugh, you know, I think they stop listening to what you're saying because that feels like a ton of bricks just weighed down on them because it's not something that's been spoken about so much. Now, the heart, they figure, oh, no big deal. So-and-so had a bypass. Hey, if my heart doesn't work, I'll just get a transplant. No big deal. But the brain is something that you can't rewire. You can't turn around and say, let's just bypass part of it and I'll still be good to go. Or it's not something that I can get a transplant of an organ to be able to still be me. And so when we talk about the brain, it's really something that to, I would say, almost everyone, if you checked on a group of 100 people, they would all say, oh, my gosh, you know, and they would sit down, you know, and they would say, oh, you know, that devastates me. I don't know much about the brain. I don't know how it could be a problem, and I certainly don't know how to fix it. Yet all of these therapies and treatments and everything and these drugs we're taking all affect our brain. We just decide to think that it's just this little compartment that really has no bearing, but we're influencing it every second of every single day by our thoughts, what we eat, what we take into our body, what we're exposed to, what environment we're in. Everything is taken in there, and yet we still diss it constantly, I think. And by using the neurofeedback, I think that's a second step. Everybody knows of traditional talk therapy, and everybody says, oh, I'm not going to go tell somebody my secrets. And what I always say to people, that which you choose not to bring into the office is exactly what's holding you back from healing. So whatever you're not telling me is what's really going on, is really what's holding you back. And neurofeedback can kind of unleash that without it. It's, you don't have to say the unsaid. You just have to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that people have to understand, and people think, oh, brain, oh, scary. I mean, the brain
right.
is complex. But even if there's something, quote, unquote, off with the brain, and listen, everyone knows that some days they're off.
Right.
Not thinking as well. Their concentration's a little fuzzy, or their memory isn't as sharp as they, you know, where did I put those keys? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people just tend to, as they're getting a little older, think, well, it's just old age. And, you know, I
right.
guess that just happens when you get older, or whatever they may have heard. And that's not necessarily true. So we all have to think about our brains, about what we can do to improve them. But we also have to understand that the idea that our brains, like if something happens to the brain, it is, that's it. It's over.
Right.
I mean, you know, you injure your brain, or you have, you know, decreased memory or whatever it might be. Well, okay, that's the end of that. I mean, just had a beer, or just killed 100 brain cells. I'm all done with that. I mean, all these things that we're told. Well, that's not true, in that our brains actually, now we know, are very plastic. It's called neuroplasticity. Our brains can be molded and reshaped, and yes, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And that's something that people really have to think about. So, for instance, let's say somebody who has a stroke. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in a stroke? Well, they get an area of the brain that has been either had a clot go to it, so it cut off the oxygen supply for a short period, or they had a bleed in the area of the brain. And part of that brain probably died, because you don't have oxygen for 4 to 6 minutes and you will have neuronal cell death. Okay, fine. But what about the areas surrounding that zone of, that they would call it ground zero? What about the surrounding zone, this penumbra, this fallout zone? Well, those areas are not quite functioning up to snuff. But they can be brought back online if given the right opportunity. If the swelling and stuff goes down, and there's therapies to help with that, we'll discuss in a moment. But also, what about later on about what you can do to help reawaken and retrain those areas to take over functions that they may not have been doing before. And that's where the neurofeedback comes in. It helps you kind of rewire, retrain, and in that instance of a, let's say, a stroke. So, again, people would say, well, yeah, you're not going to get function back on that. Well, really? Well, we've seen it come back with people. So never say never. And I think that's important, that people always have to think that there are things that can be done, and there are things even, let's say, that I don't do, like stem cell therapies that are tremendous potential that are out there, that, yes, there are things that can be done. And so don't be scared about talking about your brain.
But also, too, don't be the first one to demand that you have to have drugs to fix something, because let's see what else you can do, because drugs are really just a mask. Some of them are. Some are helpful. But the biggest point is ask. When you put your hand out for that prescription repeatedly, I always say to people, is ask, what does this drug do? What does it not do? And furthermore, how long will I be taking this for? Is this something that's going to just get rid of my symptom today so I will go away? Or is it something that's going to cover over whatever's bothering me? Or is it something that's going to cure what's wrong with me? And that's so vitally important, because when you take that drug, you're pretty much, if you do it, you know, blindly, you're on a path that you've now chosen. And until you decide to wake up and say, what's the name of this path and what is going on here, really nothing's going to change.
Right. And I think thinking about the drugs, you know, we just have to say, well, are we helping us move towards that state of health with that drug? And I think that would be the first question to ask for any condition, brain or not, is how is this helping my body heal itself? And I think that's the simplest question to ask of yourself when you're hearing any of these marketed pharmacological ads, or even if your doctor wants to give you something. You know, if you can ask that question and you can get an answer that makes sense, not just, well, that kind of thing, well, then you may be on the right path. And then it's always good to have somebody that you can turn to kind of bounce those ideas off and figure it out. I mean, there's a lot of information out there these days. There's a lot of, the internet has opened up people's minds like it never has before. This could be a very good thing. I mean, I have patients that come in with tons of questions, and they read this and they read that. There's no way I can know all that stuff. And I think I'm sure you've come across this as well with your patients. I mean, they ask you everything. But the important thing is how do you evaluate it within the context of health and how the body heals? And I think that's something that I think everyone should think about that when they look over information.
But I think so also, it's great in a way because it shows that they do have some participation in taking care of themselves. A lot of people will just walk in and say, fix this, give me this. And this is, they'll even still have their hand on the prescription. And they'll say, so this is going to take care of it, right? And it's sort of like it is this thing that exists in your body, and you either want it or you don't want it, and a drug is going to either keep it or get rid of it. And when they do go out and look up, so many doctors will say they complain about their patients looking up on the internet. I think that is the most wonderful education experience, is to say to the people, you know, what drew you to this? Oh, my, yes, that's a great idea. But look at this. Do you see these two things? So, and it's be able to then help them understand where they are so that the next time they go search, they could say, no, they could have a better idea on what they want to keep or not keep in their idea of looking forward, they would say, no, that's not quite what the doctor said. You know, mm-hmm. he said maybe it's this one. So then they have a better choice, and then they'll say, okay, well, I'll look up that one. It's just
right.
giving the patients more information. So many times, you know, when I work with end-of-life clients, they are saying, well, the doctor says, you know, this is my lab test. I've got all of these things, so they're going to give me a drug, one for every one. And it's like, really, what's the point? You know, does your cholesterol matter at that point? Does your different things, do they really matter? And the point is what's more important? What can you work on yourself? And then use the medications for those things that maybe you can't work
right.
with.
Right. And, you know, medicine nowadays has been become treating the test. And,
right.
And treating the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is wonderful that patients are able to research and start understanding things. Because when they start asking questions, not every doctor likes that when patients are asking all these questions.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I can't know everything that's out there information-wise. So some patients have brought me cool stuff. I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. Let's look into that. You know, that's a
right.
bit of information. Maybe this can help someone else too. So, you know, it's we're always learning. I mean, doctor and patient. And I think that everyone should just keep that in mind.
And I think looking back on history, when most physicians that are over the ages of 60, 65, they went to medical school when there was just libraries. And most of the medical books were just kept, you know, so that certain people had access to them.
Yeah.
Now, the internet, you can find any medical book you want, buy it, and bring it home. So it's totally different with the internet now, but just to be able to understand everybody's eyes on something is a whole lot better than just one person who believes that they've got the answer. You know, I always tell people, run away from the gurus and the, quote, experts, you know, because really what they're just saying is they've tunnel visioned their treatments or their therapies into this one road. And they're
right.
not able always to see that diversity on the other side. Not everybody is in the standard deviation. There's always people on the outside. And those are the ones that really need our help.
Right.
Well, let's talk about hyperbaric oxygen because I think this is the next step. So if we're really looking at body, mind, and spirit, I mean, you need oxygen in your body. And people can't get the idea that why is this important? So many people, I mean, I live in the deep south. Hey, they think of it only here for people coming from offshore that have issues. You know, they're out on the oil rigs and, hey, for some reason something happened and they go into the hyperbaric oxygen. That's about it. Other than that,
right.
no one knows what it's about.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think people have, at least when I started doing it many years ago, I mean, it was even less known. Now people are hearing about it more and more because of its wound healing properties, and a lot of diabetic non-healing wounds are being treated. It's, as soon as Medicare started paying for it, boom, it's popping up at every hospital.
All right.
Back when I started hyperbaric, there were really only a couple of hospitals in the state and the naval base by that had a hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard about this, and I said, wow, This is another amazing nature cure therapy. Why? Because, like you said, oxygen, there's three things we need to live: food, water, and oxygen, right? Take
right.
away oxygen, 4 to 6 minutes, life's over. So it probably would be considered the key molecule for life, like the
mm-hmm.
miracle molecule. So what can we do with this miracle molecule? I mean, we can alter its concentration. And how do we do that? Oh, you could concentrate it, and you could breathe it in. You could breathe 100% oxygen in, but then you can even do more with it. If you increase the pressure at which that oxygen is delivered, it can now get to a much higher dissolved state in your body. So the person I turned to when I was hearing about hyperbaric oxygen for neurological conditions for the brain was a man by the name of Dr. Richard Neubauer. And Dr. Neubauer was a real visionary and a kind man and leader. He really started this whole idea of using hyperbaric oxygen and made it popular, using it for neurological conditions. And the first thing that he founded. He kind of founded, I think, with the case of somebody who was had some kind of wound he was healing in his clinic with, and the person had a multiple sclerosis, MS, and he noticed that the person was starting to do better under in the hyperbaric chamber. He said, well, this is interesting. And he kind of played around to figure out what the best pressure was, the best amount of time, and he started seeing more of these patients. And then he published an article in the England Journal of Medicine talking about this idea of using hyperbaric oxygen, how it was being successful with these MS patients. And, you know, this started this whole idea of being able to use it. And people from all over started coming with various neurological conditions. And Dr. Neubauer was an open-minded guy. So he really said, okay, well, yeah, let's see. Maybe we can use it for that. Let's give it a try. And if it's not harmful, we should try it, right, if it could help the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And he started seeing cases of cerebral palsy. Now, what's cerebral palsy? Cerebral palsy is a condition where someone was born where they had a lack of oxygen to the brain at some point during the pregnancy, whether it's right at birth or sometime in gestation when they're in the mother's tummy. We don't know. It could be for various reasons. Everyone's seen someone with cerebral palsy. Some of these people have a lot of spasticity. They may be wheelchair-bound. Some of them you may think, oh, well, they're mentally dysfunctional. They don't understand what you're talking about. But many of them are very sharp. They just can't express themselves right.
Mm-hmm.
So he was using hyperbaric oxygen and starting to reverse some of these changes that these kids were having. And this could be, we're not talking like the day that they had the anoxic event, a time when the oxygen was taken away from their brain. We're talking of the months or years later that they were starting to all of a sudden be able to walk again, maybe speak again. And he was using it for near-drowning cases. He was using it for strokes and autism and Lyme disease. And they started, and it just kept growing from there and there. And he formed one of the Hyperbaric Medical Associations. And then, you know, they started not wanting to do things with neurologic, you know, the politics of medicine. And then he started doing international symposiums about hyperbaric oxygen and the neurologic conditions. And so practitioners from other countries are starting to be introduced to this. And now some of these other countries are way more advanced in their use of hyperbaric for these neurological conditions, even more than the United States, because we're always a very, closed-minded in our medical society here. But other countries are using it even more so. So anyhow, so that's how I came to hyperbaric oxygen, and we started using this in my center in order to help these brain conditions. I said, heal with hyperbaric, retrain with EEG, and I was the first physician to my knowledge in the world doing that, using the two combination.
Let's look at oxygen, too, because people say, let's just put a mask on my face or let's just put that hose by my nose and I'm good to go, so I don't really need to worry about that. There's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. There is. I mean, I think, let's just go, I brought up the analogy of a stroke before, so let's go back to the analogy of the stroke or the case of a stroke. Now, a lot of times, think about when people are in, people may have had a stroke or they have some kind of shock or something like that from some kind of trauma. What is one of the first things the ambulances do for these people?
Right.
They put them on oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, shock is when our body is not getting enough blood and oxygen to different areas like our brain and other vital organs, so we want to increase the oxygen level. Now, the amazing thing is once they get to the hospital, if it's something like a stroke, they take the oxygen off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, well, that's, you know, it was a stroke. Well, okay, well, what about the oxygen? And they measure something called a pulse ox. They put that little clip on your finger, your earlobe, and they look to see how oxygenated your blood is. What they're measuring is how oxygenated your red blood cells are. Okay, 98, 99, something like that. Somewhere between 97 and 99%. You're okay, you're good, you're oxygenated. Wait a minute. Well, there's more to oxygen than actually just what the red blood cells carry. So what do I mean by that? Well, our red blood cells, if someone like bleeds, right, they're looking at this red stuff that comes out. Well, that's actually more than just those round little red blood cells, those frisbee or disc-shaped blood cells that we see under the microscope sometimes. There's all this fluid that surrounds the red blood cells. That's called plasma. And that carries a whole host of things. Some of our nutrients are carried in there. We have proteins. We have part of our immune system is carried in there. And also it's just a whole bunch of water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that water, everyone knows about this if you think about it. What can water do? Well, water can carry gases. Okay? And that's actually when our red blood cells go along and they get to finally the smallest little vessels in our body to get to let's say to our parts of our brain. You have little tiny, like very, very, very small capillaries. And really almost about one at a time can march, one red blood cell at a time can march down there. And what they do is they release their oxygen. That goes into the plasma, that goes across the membranes of the blood vessels and into the cells, and that's when they use it. So the blood kind of is a, don't forget, oxygen is a gas. So that will just kind of dissolve and it will flow from high areas to low areas. So anyone has ever seen, like, let's say, a bottle of soda or seltzer.
Right.
What happens when you open that seltzer up?
Mm-hmm.
The gas is released. You see carbon dioxide is the gas that's dissolved in the seltzer, and the bubbles come up. Well, how did they do that? What they did is they took carbon dioxide and they pushed it into the solution under pressure, and those bubbles dissolved, and the gas is dissolved into it. And in fact, if you look at it with this pressure still there, it looks like, well, just looks like water until you open the cap and you release the pressure.
Right.
Now, hyperbaric oxygen is pushing in a different gas, not carbon dioxide. It's putting in oxygen, dissolving it into our blood's water matrix. And not just our blood's water matrix, our cerebral spinal fluid, the fluid that bathes our brains, and other things like our joint fluids and things like that. All of a sudden, you get this huge increase in the amount of oxygen that's dissolved in all your bodily fluids and therefore also to your cells. In fact, Dr. Barimi back in the 60s, published a study showing that he could take, we did an experiment, he took these pigs and he took out all their blood. It's called desanguinating. He took out all their blood and replaced it with just saline, just salt water.
Mm-hmm.
But he did this under hyperbaric oxygen conditions, 100% oxygen, under 2 atmospheres of pressure. So the equivalent was going, let's say, 33 feet down underwater. In the hyperbaric world, they use a lot of diving analogies. So you go down 33 feet equivalent, and all of a sudden, those pigs were living. No blood in them, just saline. But because that was now able to carry enough oxygen because of the hyperbaric condition, the pigs lived. And so then came a whole time in modern medical surgery where they can do surgeries, they call bloodless surgeries, where they're able to do this under hyperbaric surgical theaters. Very amazing thing. So I just wanted to point out that that's how it works in essence. We're increasing the oxygen concentration. So when somebody has an injury or a stroke or things like that, now the oxygen, which may not have been able to get there so well because of either bad blood vessels or damage or whatever it is, now the oxygen is just starting to dissolve into that area. Okay? It's like imagine all of a sudden that breath comes in and you're able to start breathing again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the cells start doing. They start breathing again. They start feeling this energy. There's a lot of things actually that are occurring with this. We're learning more and more now. It actually turns on over 8,000 different genes. So it's really a genetic therapy. And this is causing cells to start replicating. It's causing new blood vessels to be laid down. It's causing old dead cells to be carried away and inflammation to go down, and guess what? Even stem cells to increase in the body. What are stem cells? Those make new cells. So are we possibly making new brain cells? Very likely. Very likely. So that's idea of how it works.
And it's a therapy and a treatment that we would call, not everybody has the option to be able to have access to this. But also, those that do have access, they should be able to say, you know, let's try something else. So this is a perfect example of, hey, look it up, see if it might help you, and possibly suggest it to your physician. Because not every physician knows about these type therapies. And they may not even know the new ways that they are used, as you've been describing. Because when, like I said, when they think of hyperbaric, they just think of the people that were do diving, and that's about all the information they have. So it's really up to us to be able to look up things, as we've said, on the internet and be able to say, hey, can we try this? This looks new. This looks different. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your other therapy. It is the higher brain living.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really found this very interesting, too. And again, when I thought of all your therapies, I thought they all affected each part of the body, mind, and spirit. And this is definitely the spirit part.
Yeah, higher brain living is a system that Dr. Michael Cotton came up with, and I got a chance to study with him the other year. And when I heard about it, I said, well, this could be very revolutionary, and I have to learn more about it. It's not considered a, quote-unquote, medical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not promoted as such. It's more promoted more as a lifestyle improvement, lifestyle modification type of self-improvement therapy. But really, its focus is on the brain. But it's focused on the brain not just as a physiologic system, but as affecting the energy in the brain and
right.
what you can do with that newfound energy. So let me just describe it briefly here so your listeners can get a type of understanding. And I'll give you my websites and things that you can learn about this more later. But it's basically a very gentle touch technique. Okay, we're activating specific areas on the body in a very specific way. And timed in a specific time. Again, very light, gentle touch. Now, people can get light, gentle touches all the time, and you don't think your brain is just going to start surging with energy. But it's kind of like I give the analogy that, you know, our body has this amazing electrochemical properties, and you know, we've heard of acupuncture points and things like that where we can activate into these electrical, energetic systems, so to speak. Now, what if we had the right combination and just the right way to unlock some amazing potential that our bodies have? And that's what this is starting to do. Okay, I say it's kind of like an app. I just gave you the code. And now we're coding in how to unlock that app. And, ooh, what does this app do? Well, what this app does, what our bodies do in response to this, is the energy starts building in something area called the prefrontal cortex. That's the higher brain, okay? We all have this lower brain, this we call the more prehistoric brain than all animals and everyone shares. It's kind of like the fight or flight, the stress response, all those things that keep us in the same old pattern in life and also keep
right.
us reacting in a way of stress and anxiety and worry. But then we have this higher brain. This higher brain is the area that gives us the joy, the confidence, the vision, the ability to create, the ability to just see the world and make our lives better. But what so often happens, we tend to be stuck in this lower brain physiologic area. The energy in our brain is really used a lot by this lower brain, okay? And that's why people tend to be stuck in the same old patterns again and again and again. Because sameness equals safety. Understand? We feel safe. Even though life, quote-unquote, may suck, you know what's coming the next day. So you do it again and again. That's a basic physiologic response our brains have set up to keep us safe. Like if you were in old prehistoric times, you would see a saber-toothed tiger, you would react and run the other way. And the next time, you would never go near that area again because you know the saber-toothed tiger might be there. So our brains are kind of hardwired for this. So what this technique does is it helps surge the energy from that lower brain to the higher brain. And when that occurs, you actually see a change. As a practitioner of this, we see a change in the person's breath. Okay, if everyone would just take a big breath in right now and exhale like that, you know, we just ask you to inhale and exhale. A lot of people, there's a lot of let's say, meditative techniques that use breath and other things like that, and,
right.
And conscious awareness, and okay? This actually is almost unconscious. Our bodies just start breathing more, and sometimes it's a bigger breath than a person's ever taken in their life, it seems. And this is a physiologic response of the brain surging energy to the frontal lobes of the brain, and oxygen and blood flow start going there. And it starts de-stressing by dumping energy out of that lower brain, and then the body sometimes starts moving in this like wave-like motion. Sometimes for some people it's even bigger as the sessions go on. And there are certain areas that we continue to activate during this process. And it's like this awakening of this brain. When people come out, it's about a 45-minute session. Generally, mm-hmm. people are like, well, wow. I mean, I feel like it's very hard for them to describe. It's a relaxed yet extremely high awareness state. In fact, some people who have been lifelong meditators come out and they say, wow, I've never, ever been able to get that deep with meditation before. For meditation, they could spend hours in meditation. This takes them to that state very quickly and deeper. And so now they're in this state of stress and anxiety starts going down. They start relating differently to the world around them. And then by the fourth or fifth session, we enter what's something called, there's different tiers to the system. First tier is awakening the brain at that, started opening those pathways up. And the second tier is when now they actually are able to, when they're in this higher brain state, they're able to look at their life, their body, their mind, their environment, their relationships, and they're able to evaluate their life and look for hot spots in those areas from this higher brain state. It's like looking at 50,000 feet up from all eye above, and they're actually able to see different things that they may not have seen from their normal conscious
right.
state. So now they're all of a sudden they're up there and they look and they say, well, gee, you know, I really, you know, I have this problem with this and this relationship. Okay, this is what I want. What do I want from this? What am I going to do to help myself get there to achieve that outcome desired? We call it the action required for the outcome desired for the body, for the mind, for the environment, for your relationships. And then you come boil all that down to about one or two sentences, which is, we call it a resolution, like your soul, resolution. And it's the action required for the outcome desired for each of those four quadrants of your life. And then the person comes back to their facilitator for a session where they are now in that higher brain state, and we associate that physiologic change in the brain to that resolution. And now what does that mean? We're actually using that surge of energy in the higher brain and tying it to this outcome desired that this person is wanting to achieve and what they need to do to get there. So it's no longer like, okay, it's New Year's and I'm making my New Year's resolution, okay? Or I'm making a positive affirmation that you know how this happens every year. People
say, sure,
I'm going to lose 20 pounds and blah, 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 blah. And they say it, and then they go out and they work out and they buy their nice stuff. They spend $150 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a month, it all falls apart again.
That's right.
And it happens again and again and again. Difference here is it's not them like forcing themselves to do it, because this has all come from their lower brain, you see. And their lower
right.
brain's like, I don't really want to do that. Yeah, come on, let's just go back and sit on the couch. Let's just do that. That's much, much easier and safer, okay? What happens is that here, the higher brain says, no, I feel awesome when we're doing that. We're doing this. And it just starts taking you there. In fact, some people, it just takes them there. And they don't even, they aren't even consciously trying to make certain things happen. It just happens. People start relating to them differently. People, opportunities open up for them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And life-changing things occur. Now, you mentioned at the very beginning of the show about stress. Stress
right.
is 90% in many instances of all medical conditions. And we can go through the neurophysiology of why stress causes all these different medical conditions. But suffice to say, everyone knows that when they're under stress, they're just not feeling that great. Now,
mm-hmm.
this helps take you out of that stress state. So can this affect you in a whole slew of health states? Yes. And being a physician, I'm using this with my patients and I'm seeing how it's really helping them get through a lot of stuff that otherwise would have been really difficult. And you know, we're seeing a positive change. In fact, because of my background with the neurology and EEG, I've been able actually to see how the brain changes before and after a session.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking massive shifts in the brain, and within 45 minutes. Like, the brain is really doing a lot of different stuff. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to talk about it here because it won't make sense without seeing it visually. But so it is a very powerful therapy, and there are some other you know, facilitators out there in the country now. So, you know, many of your listeners in different areas possibly can get access to Higher Brain Living, and I would suggest that everyone does it because it is a great awakening for the brain and can really change their lives. So it's something that is not hard to do, but again, it's making change, and change sometimes for some people, their lower brain says, well, I don't want to make change. But yeah, but they may want to achieve this or achieve that, and they may want to reduce their stress, and who doesn't? And this is something that can help them with that.
And it makes a really big difference, because so many people say, this is a thing that happened and I'm all stressed out about it, and they continue to want to be able to cover up the symptoms of, oh, it makes my stomach hurt, or it makes my head hurt, or something else hurts, or I'm not doing well in this part of my life, or maybe I just need this drug or that. And they really disassociate that is an impact of your body, mind, and spirit. The brain has a function over your body. The physical part and the mental part of your body are connected, and by slowing down one or shutting off one, and its symptoms, you're really affecting your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think it's great that you're able to use all these therapies, because even just by putting some naturopathic therapies in, you know, and maybe the Higher Brain Living, or for another person, it might just be neurofeedback to start with, because they might not feel that they are able to actually do anything, and you can let the, you know, do that type of therapy. Some people might say hyperbaric is just, hey, that's just way too out there. I don't get it quite yet, and I'm not ready for that. But you still have other therapies that you're able to work with people. You know, I think the biggest fear in the entire world for most people is two of them, sudden heart attack and Alzheimer's.
Mm.
And to think that you're going to lose your heart or your mental capacity is a fear that really drives 99.9% of anyone over the age of 60. So I think any time you can work with that prior to that age, you really are ahead of the game.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we see these types of cases all the time, and yes, there's things you can do. And you know, you really, and the time to even start working on the brain is when the baby's in the womb. I mean, you can already start doing things to help it then, and then if you're able to get it to then. But even if you're 50, 60 years old or something, you can still work on your brain. You can still make it better. You're talking about, like, well, you could do this therapy, you could do this, you could do that. And, you know, we have such an amazing smorgasbord, so to speak, of things that we can choose from,
mm-hmm.
that it is sometimes the art of the medicine is figuring out what to use and when, and you know, and how to use it. So, I mean, yes, you know, some of my patients I'll use all the above, and some of the patients we won't. It's just each case is individualized. I'm working now on doing a little beta testing on some brain retreats I hope to have in the near future. Where we will take a small group of people and actually very rapidly try and upgrade their brains, which would be a great thing. I'm excited about it because I'm like, oh, gee, I wish I could do it. But, of course, I'll be the one having to facilitate it.
All right.
I mean, you know, really putting your brain through positive shifts in a short period of time and then building upon that afterwards. But, again, you have to address the whole body. You have to address everything to make changes in the brain and in the body.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Adam, we've come to the end of the show. It is such a pleasure to have you with us to talk about the brain today because, you know what, everybody uses the biggest attribute that the brain gives us is fear, you know, and they're saying, I don't even know what that's about, so I'm just going to pretend and put up this big wall and let it go and mosey along my day, and that's exactly where a lot of people end up hitting the wall, and wow, you know, sometimes we just can't turn that train around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Could you give us more information about your website and how people might be able to reach you? That would be wonderful.
Sure. You can go to my website at www.wholebodymed.com. That's WHOLEBODYMED.com, wholebodymed.com. There also is information on Higher Brain Living at Higher Brain Living West. Westport.com. So higherbrainlivingwestport.com. So those are the two websites you can go to, wholebodymed.com and higherbrainlivingwestport.com. And my office phone number is 203-371-8258.
And also, if people might be more interested in your work, but they're not able to come to the Northeast where you are located, is there also, you'll be able to refer them to other people?
Depends on what they're looking for. Sometimes
yeah.
They can. Sometimes they have associations and whatnot that they can get information from. But yes, sometimes we can help them out with that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
You as well. Thank you very much. Pleasure being
thank
here.
Thank you. If you'd like more information about Dr. Adam Briner, his website is on the bottom of today's show page. Please do connect right in there. You click on it, it'll take you directly to his website. And do find out more about your brain because I'll tell you, when it comes to the end, and like we've said, it's really hard to turn that train around when you've done a lot of denial about that there's something going on or you're not quite up to par. You really do need to pay attention a little bit sooner. You know, it's not the answer about drugs that'll be able to get my brain to remember everything. Let me just take a bunch of drugs. Or maybe I need to take some drugs because I'm too stressed out or my brain has got me overactive or whatever that might be. Look into some other therapies. Dr. Adam has a lot of therapies that he's able to work with clients, and it would be a great asset if you were able to find something different to be able to start with. You just never know where it might take you. So thank you so much for joining us today on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and please join us again for another health topic in Health Blast 2015. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.